Hello everybody, you're listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 1st of January, 2023, what? That's right, your old buddy Father Quigg has woken from his Christmas slumber. I ran downstairs, I threw open the window and I asked the question I ask every passing young person every morning. You there, boy, is the old Pope still alive? And usually they say, oh, yes, sir, he's still alive. He's in the back of the Vatican. A bit like, kind of like the Jay Leno of the Vatican, hanging out after he said he'd retire. It's not as simple as that. In many ways, Pope Benedict has a lot more integrity than Jay Leno. And of course, Jay Leno, you see where a lack of integrity gets you? Sometimes God smites you. And your car goes on fire. So it's been a hell of a busy morning for me. Whatever the equivalent of the best man at the funeral is for Pope Benedict, I'm going to have to be that. Not because I knew him, but just because process of elimination. Everybody else from the quote-unquote 30 dozen is dead. So it's just Quigg, and I thought I'd get into a recollectory mood to get ready for my eulogy for Pope Benedict later. Mightn't mention the Jay Leno stuff, because Jay Leno might be there. Pope Benedict, he got around, he was friends with lots of people. Jay Leno, I can see that those two guys getting on famously. Pope Francis, of course, good friends with Conan O'Brien. Just clicks with them more. He just responds to them more. You would think Pope Francis would be giving the eulogy and not your old buddy the Quigster. But listen, I made reference earlier on to a group called the Dirty Dozen. Now, this was a nickname. It sounds like we're a crazy bunch of lads, but it was a nickname for 12 priests who sold machine guns around the world. And we sold the machine guns for God. And we were in many ways using the machine guns as kind of like in the way previous missionaries would have used Bibles. Just think of a machine gun as a library, and the bullet is the Bible. And then that lets you off the hook for certain human rights snafus. But listen, I haven't been talking to you in a while. You look great. Have you lost weight? Or if you are dangerously underweight, have you put on weight? Because I don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is you're doing, keep doing it because you look fantastic. I know that the 1st of January is a day when the world collectively goes, oh, fuck. Oh, God. Oh, being alive is so fucking tough. Oh, maybe this will be the year I finally get it together. Now, whatever it is, don't put too much pressure on yourself. It could be a goal. It could be trying to run 500 marathons. That could be a little goal you have to get in shape. It could also be a new hobby. Maybe you want to try and climb a massive tree. You're allowed to. It's a free country, provided you get permission from the tree. Or maybe it is Stephen King's It. That's right, Pennywise the Clown, a kind of a space spider from hell that terrorizes kids. Whatever it is, I wish you all the luck with it, but be sure not to put too much pressure on yourself. Put no pressure on yourself at all. I want the year 2023 to be the year where no one puts any pressure on themselves to do anything at all. I want you to have a half-written list of goals and resolutions that you look at in July, because you just can't be arsed writing them all out, because this year you're going to take it easy. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Life is tough. And not for me. I've got pretty good. I had a pretty nice Christmas. Myself and my my girlfriend Liz, I won't say her full name, but me and Miss Hurley had a fantastic time in Pierce Brosnan's Hawaiian mansion. Pierce wasn't there. He'd locked himself out. He only has one key, spare key, and it's in Navan. So while he was over in Navan, Lizzie and I, we went down the chimney and we had a great time in Pierce's house. We used his hot tub. We watched his one of the world's largest VHS collections of the TV show Mindhunter. So we were admiring that. And we rang in, just had a great old bloody time. We rang in to lots of different organizations on the radio. And we'd ring up and I'd say, they'd say, oh, do you have a Christmas request? And I'd say, yes, yes, but first, your fridge in the studio, the radio station, is the fridge running? And they'd say, hang on a minute. Then there'd be dead air, just nothing. And then they'd come back and they'd say, it is running. And I would say, that's good, because I'd forgotten that I was setting it up for a kind of a hilarious joke. See, the plan was, you ring up, you say, is the fridge running? They check, they come back, they say it is. Then you go, well, you better catch it. Then you hang up, you and Liz Hurley laugh and make love. But look, I'm getting old. Memory isn't what it once was. I'm sure you can tell just from this little chat we've been having, jumping around a little bit. But we've got a lot to get to today. But yeah, just first off, wanted to, if you've got a drink, pour one out for my dead Popey, Benedict. And yeah, hopefully you would be pouring it out of some sort of a grail, or a goblet, something golden, because this is the fucking Pope we're talking about, you know. This was, I don't know how many people here have been the Pope, probably just one listener actually, but it's a tough job, and when you retire from it, much like that old lad, old Billy, he was a famous man in America. So this is what Billy's job was. He was outside the city hall and he was in charge of the parking, and people would come in, they give Billy a buck. And then after 20 years, he charged $2. And then after 30 years, it was $5, because that's inflation. Anyway, one day, didn't Billy just not show up? And they said, we're going to need to find someone to replace Billy. And they said, well, is it City Hall in charge of it? Is it the town? Who's in charge of it? They did a little bit of research and turns out Billy was just some crook with a stool who showed up one day and just blatantly started charging money. And in many ways, that was Pope Benedict. A great guy. And I hope now that when he gets to heaven and God asks him, what did you do on earth at all? What was your job? Let's have a look at your LinkedIn. That God reads over his LinkedIn and endorses Pope Benedict for his sainthood. So I'm at the moment helping the transition year students in the local school. They're putting on a musical based on Avatar 2. And the production, it's quite costly. Now, I would never normally be one to go to the government and say, you've got to help us finance this, or at least meet us halfway. This is looking like it's going to be $100 million just to break even, which is a lot for a regional secondary school musical production. But these are the stakes we have. And as anyone who's ever done a Amdram production of Terminator 2 will tell you, James Cameron does not sell the rights to his properties cheap. In fact, he really is a bit of a gouger when it comes to payment. But I was in talks with the few people I know there. I said, my old pal, Micheál Martin, he's still the Taoiseach. They said, no, it's not his turn anymore. It's Varadkar's turn again. I said, what the what? Are we in Groundhog Day? I thought that this has already occurred, and now it's occurring again. Am I going mad? Am I going to have to go and get another CAT scan? I've already had two this week. One for me, one for the cat. We're both fine. Well, the cat's not... The cat may have had radiation poisoning from the CAT scan machine. But look, we'll get into that later on. don't need to get into it now, but basically they said Michal's gone, Leo's back in. I said, very good. Well, I've always got on well with him, because even though he's a young man, his outlook on life is really that more aligned with a Victorian moneylender. And those are people I always have great chats with. But so I said, any chance you could just fork us out, not that much, just 40, 50, 60 mil, just to cover the wig budget, because all these Avatar lads have crazy long braidy hair, and they use it to make whoopee. So we'd have to have wires and strings and stuff like that, and also a saxophone to let the audience know that they're getting it on. Because normally if you see people tie their hair to someone else's hair, well, you don't normally see that. It's very, very not normal. That's why this Avatar musical, I think it's really going to give the people of East County Galway, it's going to blow their fucking minds. They've only seen stuff like, you know, My Fair Lady and you know, things like that. This is huge. This is massive. We're actually, instead of having a sort of immersive theatrical experience, we're just building like an alien place, and people will go to it and experience the story through that. Anyway, cost of living, it's gone up, apparently. I haven't noticed it now. Out of Quigg Manor, you know, I have to say, when it comes up to Christmas time and we've got all the guests and visitors in, I like to spend a lot of money. And the money that I spend is on Secret Santa. And Secret Santa, it's usually you buy a gift for somebody. They don't know who it's from, but I know who my Secret Santa is every year, and it's me. And I get myself all the best new toys. I've got my cheapest present is worth about 10 grand. The wrapping paper might as well just be 100 euro bills. I really go all out. But apparently, there's some cost of living thing. And for Agkirk, he doesn't know how to get out of it. He doesn't know how to get out of it. He's in a terrible quandary because he's only been in charge for ages. And people think just because you're there for ages, you know what to do. That's not the situation at all, oftentimes. He is a victim of what they call imposter syndrome. And nobody will tell him that he's not good, because he will plant a body in their garden and have them and their parents sent to jail forever. That being said, I did mention I get on okay with them. He said there's 50 million for the Ukrainians, and some of that's going for orphans. He said, could you in good conscience take this for your big dumb Avatar 2 musical? I said, yes, I could. So we're getting that now. It's going to be a big old deal. We're having a bit of trouble now, though. We have to have a lot of people to do the special effects, and we're flying them in. And we've nowhere for them to stay. God alive, everywhere has gone on the Airbnbs. So as a solution to this, we're just going to just get the Concorde going again and just fly people from wherever they are, because it's actually cheaper flying people in via Concorde than it is to let somebody rent a room in an Irish building. So it's New Year's Day. I know a lot of you are going to be writing up big lists of things you can do to improve your lives. Go out there and make somebody sick, or go out there and sabotage somebody. Ring up someone's business, try and get them sacked. Invite somebody to a place, and then it turns out to be a bad place, and take photos of them and ruin them. We all have the usuals. We all know what it is. But this year, I want you to take up a new resolution. That resolution is the resolution of going easy on yourself. That's right. You are you. We can't do anything about that now. We're both stuck with you being you, me being me. And look, have things worked out? God, no. Of course they haven't. But could they? Unlikely. But you never know. But you kind of do know that they won't. But they might. And that is the hope I want you to hold on to for the rest of the year. Things might get better. They probably won't. And you shouldn't be upset when they don't. So I want you to carry that thought of love into the new year. And remember, no one's actually out to get you. But you may be unsuccessfully out to get somebody else. In which case, just have a good alibi. Leave the mobile phone at home. So we're going to have a quick roundup of the year. I don't know if anybody saw the other day, but the Department of Maps brought out a map saying which country is the least attractive people according to Europe. And England, unsurprisingly, cleaned up. And good on them. Every country in Europe, except for England, thought that English people were the ugliest people. And this isn't, they're not looking at, you know, Colin Firth and deciding this. They're looking at football hooligans and going, ooh, he's not very Mr. Darcy, is he? So that's where that comes from. It's not racist. It's just reality. It's just reality. And so we're going to have a quick look at all the breaking news for the year. So the big stories were the people of the Ukraine. They won the Eurovision with their song, "We're from Ukraine and we're gonna kill you." And it went a little bit like this. "We're from Ukraine and we're gonna kill you. We're coming to town, we're gonna kick your ass." And you'd be hard-pressed to find people not singing that over the Christmas holidays. Such an earworm. The absolute bully, Chris Rock, he went up on the Oscar stage and he said jokes. And if there's one thing I can't abide, it's jokes. And I think Will Smith was completely within his right to slap him. And a lot of people said Will Smith made a tit out of himself, that he managed in 5 seconds to squander 30 plus years of goodwill, and that anybody who had his side, for example, if you worked with people and you were on a Zoom call with them, and just to feel the pulse of the people, you said, "Oh, that was pretty crazy at the Oscars this weekend," and 5 out of 6 of your colleagues said, "Nope, Will Smith was right to go over and hit that guy who was doing his job, that Will Smith is 5 inches taller than." Also, Will Smith, he trained as a boxer. He was in the Muhammad Ali film made by Manfred Mann. And so he knows how to throw a punch. So it's a waste, actually, to be that good at hitting people and to not do it. It's a crime, really. It's like if Beethoven, instead of playing music, cut off his hands and jumped out of a tree every day. That would be a terrible, terrible use of his gifts as a musician. Other big stories, Matt Hancock, he went out to, he was in Jungle to Jungle. I think that they did a remake of the Tim Allen film Jungle to Jungle, and Matt Hancock starred in it. And he had a son in the jungle, and he had to bring him to America to make him a man or something. And everybody was very, very pleased about that, because Matt Hancock is just a great guy. He's just a great guy. He's like the English Paul Rudd. He's just cool AF. Other big things that happened. There was a brouhaha about that fucking dumb movie, Don't Worry, Darling. Terrible controversy. Just really, you know, the fact that something like that could get made is awful. And then apparently there's some behind the scenes bullshit that only wankers cared about. So, you know, I hope they had a fucking great time. Speaking of stuff only wankers cared about, well, I guess, look, the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. Now, am I heavily invested in both them? Am I both friends with both of these people? Privately, yes, I am. Me and Johnny Depp and Shane McGowan often get together to sit in a jacuzzi and desperately try to think of something to have a conversation about. Johnny Depp will just stare at Shane, and Shane might sneeze, and then Johnny Depp will fucking dine out on that sneeze for ages.
It's Shane, and it's Chew, bless you, don't bless me.
What a fucking cunt, some people say Johnny Depp is. Anytime he's talking about Shane McGowan, it's like he's really got to let the world know, me and this guy are great pals. God knows what they have to talk about, because Shane, God bless him, isn't the most verbal at the moment. It's a little bit like talking to Elmo. But if Elmo was drunk and the greatest poet since Byron. And, you know, you would want Elmo's approval if you were Johnny Depp or anybody else. But anyway, long story short, did Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, were they domestically abusive to each other? Yes, they were. Was one worse than the other? Yes, Johnny Depp was. Should we blame him? No. Why? Because if they don't make another Pirates of the Caribbean movie, aliens are going to nuke us or something. I don't know. Anyway, that's all the news from this year. Just buy crypto and James Corden stepping down. One love. He was a real one. And that was all the news. Now we're going to go on to my beautiful musical tribute to Pope Benedict. Now, as many of you know, down through the centuries, any time a pope dies, the people come to Quig and they say, could you write a little old song, write a little old skiffle about them? And yesterday I said, it's New Year's Bloody Eve. I've got a cold. I've enough to be doing. I've got to write a eulogy for this guy too. I've got to do a song now as well. How amazingly brilliant do you think I am? They said, well, we think you're pretty keen. I said, well, so reason for that. Get me a pen, the guitar, and the microphone. I'm gonna sit down and write you motherfuckers a classic. Good night, Benny. You're with Jesus now. Chatting about meaning of life with Buddha, feeding grass the golden cow. But please spare a thought for those of us you left behind. Our sacrifice so great, we have to remind you that nobody wanked the night the Pope died. Some of us tried, but we just cried and cried. Nobody wanked the night the Pope died, honey. It just felt weird. For Kleenexes, but all we did was cry. Can't have impure thoughts, so why'd you have to die? You're only a pup, you died at only 95. I'd make love to myself if only you were still alive. 'Cause nobody wanked the night the Pope died. Some of us tried, but we just cried and cried. Whoa. Nobody wanked the night the Pope died, honey. It just felt weird. And that's it for this, the new edition of Sunday Sermon. And we're going to be back every fortnight with this. So to the people who've been getting in touch with Quig in the meantime, because I thought I'd been doing this all the time. It turns out I've been handing it to the transition year students. They're supposed to upload it, and they didn't because they're too busy, quote unquote, jacking off to bloody Studio Ghibli or whatever they're doing. So look, we're back up and running again. We're going to be doing this fortnightly, and so it's January 1st, 2023 now. It's going to be a big show, February 24th. In Dublin, Smock Alley Theatre, main stage, Slow News Day with Giles Brodie. It's a comedy show about the news. Now, why would I want to promote something that isn't about religion or Michael Lowry's Museum of Michael Lowry? It's because they're sponsoring us. So from now on, we're sponsored by Slow News Day with Giles Brodie It's going to be on February 24th, Friday, in Smock Alley Theatre. It's going to be something else. And between now and when I talk to you next in 2 weeks' time, I love you. And I want you to just put your hand into the listening device and feel me shaking your hand and saying, good on you. I love you. You're special. And we'll talk to you soon. Peace out. You've been listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast by Jos Brody. Big, huge special thanks, as always, to Conor O'Toole. And if you'd like to follow me on social media, and why wouldn't you? I'm great. But if you would like to follow me, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. You can find me at my name, which is spelled GILESBRODY. I know you're thinking, shouldn't that be a J? It sounds like a J. It's not. It's not. It's G. I don't know why. Would make life easier with the J? Of course it would. But, who wants an easy life? That sounds like something for suckers. Until next week, I'm just repeating what Quig basically just said. But I hope you're all well. And love each other. And we'll talk to you soon.